In Acts 26:8, Paul made this statement, "Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead?" The year is 60 AD. The place is the palace of Agrippa in Caesarea by the sea. And Paul was sent to Agrippa by Festus, who confesses that he doesn't have a clue about these charges against Paul. And he doesn't understand why the Jews hate Paul and why Paul keeps talking about a dead man named Jesus who claimed he was alive, Acts 25:19. This is a problem. The Jews say Jesus was dead. Paul said he was alive. And Festus didn't have a clue. So Paul frankly asked this question. Why should any of you think it's incredible that God should raise people from the dead? And Paul had given his whole testimony. And this is where he says, "Paul, you've almost persuaded me to become a Christian." We don't want any almost persuaded today. We want the truth of God to ring clear in this house today. We believe the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Will you say together, "Holy Spirit, speak to me"? Paul's idea is that it's more credible that God could raise the dead than that he would not. Then Agrippa finally throws up his hands in exasperation and says, "Paul, you are mad. You have lost your mind. You've studied so much, you don't know how to think anymore." This is still a great problem today. Unbelief has 1,000 excuses. People don't believe it because they've never seen anyone raised from the dead. And it just seems impossible to them to believe it. Notice that Paul uses the word incredible. Incredible, that word means. Credible means believable. In means not. Incredible means literally not believable. You know, there's a very unusual shop on the West Coast where it's possible to view a number of incredible things. You'll like this. Remember that incredible does not mean impossible. It means that which is scarcely believable. Leaves one amazed or awestruck. One may see in this shop a single piece of hair with the name Ripley written across it. And if you ask how that was done, you'll be told that a man dipped a single piece of hair in ink and wrote the word Ripley across it. Incredible, but it's there for you to see. The Guinness Book of Records tells us that there's a 4-year-old little boy in Korea that speaks 4 languages. Chinese, Korean, Japanese, and English. That's truly incredible. It also tells us that Mrs. Valisay of Russia gave birth to 69 children. Now that's incredible. And that a healthy baby was born in Turkey that weighed 24 pounds. That's painfully incredible. There are many things that seem to be impossible, but they are only incredible to us. The longest mustache a man ever grew was 102 inches long. You can see this picture and you'll say in amazement, "This is incredible." But obviously, it's not impossible. You know, it was very difficult for the women who came to the tomb and saw the stone rolled away to believe their own eyes. Think about it with me. Then when they saw the empty tomb, they saw Jesus was not there. They saw the angel sitting there. And they said inside themselves, "This is incredible." When they ran to tell the disciples that the angel had told them that Jesus was no longer there, that he'd been raised from the dead, The disciples were just like King Agrippa. They said to the women, "You are mad." And they did not believe it. Then Jesus appeared the same night to his disciples, but Thomas was not there. And when the disciples told Thomas, Thomas said, "That is impossible. I cannot believe it." The next night, Thomas was with the disciples when Jesus appeared to them. Now Thomas knows that the news of his resurrection seemed incredible, but now he knows it was not impossible. That it is incredible to believe that God raises the dead. Why? He can create. Can't he recreate? You know, there's coming a day, according to Paul, that every believer who has ever died will receive a new, incorruptible, glorified body. It's in your Bible. Shall we believe so far and not believe what we really need? I don't know about you. I'm looking forward to a new start with a body. It will be recognizable, this body, but it will be perfect and eternal. We don't understand how this can happen. Charles Spurgeon says, "The way that it happens is that when a person dies and is buried, God holds all his parts in custody until that great day comes and he rises to newness of life in a glorified body." Jesus really started something. He didn't just do this one-time thing. It was the first resurrection. Jesus, by his resurrection, demonstrated the simplicity of transitioning from one world to another. And that's what we're going to do, church. As his body lay in the tomb, the Holy Spirit quietly entered the pulseless, lifeless Son of God, quickened him, and gave him a new body. A little later, he's standing in the garden, calmly talking to Mary. As Andre has already mentioned, no big fanfare, just calmly going on to the next step in giving you and me eternal lives and one day glorified bodies just like his. Then he appeared to the women, then to Peter, then to the disciples on the road to Emmaus, then to the 11 disciples. A week later, he appeared to Thomas, who believed in spite of his own disbelieving words and cried, "My Lord and my God." You know, a Harris poll conducted in 1998 revealed that 88% of all Americans say they believe in the resurrection of Christ. If that be so, there are still so many people who have not yet believed what his resurrection means, because it's not giving them resurrection life. And that's what it means, that Jesus was resurrected from the dead, that you could live in newness of life. What does the resurrection mean? It means that death is defeated and that we never need to fear death again. In Hebrews 12, 14, 15, "For this purpose Jesus partook of flesh and blood like us, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and might deliver those through fear of death who were subject to bondage all their lives." Isn't it good to be free from that bondage? John's mother lived with us a couple of years before she went on to be with Jesus. And she'd been a Methodist all of her life. And some Methodists don't know that they can really know that they're saved. And they think that you need to find out when you get there. But I said to her one day, and I had a very serious talk with her, and I said, "Margie, let me show you this scripture that says, these things are written that you might know that you have eternal life. She said, well, honey, is that in there? I knowed if anybody could help me, you could. We need to help people if we can. We need to help people to know that they do not have to be entombed in their own fears. She went out of this world unafraid. The crucifixion seemed to be the death of Jesus. It was actually the death of death. 2 Timothy 1:10 says that Jesus nullified death. Not any more death for those of us that believe. Putting it out of business. Jesus clearly said we go from life to life. If any man believes in him, you will never die. Never die, never die. You step from this life to eternal life. So when we die in Christ, we go straight to him. Everybody say straight to him. There's a lot of strange doctors about the in-between, but believe me, Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Paul said, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So when we die, we go straight to him, and to the redeemed, there is no death in any way that truly matters. Why is it so difficult for us to believe? I think it's because we can't conceive of a world and a life that is different from the one that we are really hung up on. We really believe it. How many of you believe in this world? Of course you do. It's right, you're right here in it. You're accustomed to it. You relate to it, everything about it. But there's going to be a whole new world. There's going to be a whole new life. And Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And heaven is our home, and there we will live eternally. But we can't imagine this. And so fear paralyzes our ability to believe. The only cure for that is to choose to believe that Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection is real. Otherwise, we will forever remain in the realm of the unknown. I want to know. I want to be sure. I don't want to have any doubts or any questions. By the way, it's all written in the book. You can read it for yourself just like I read it. I'm not making up anything today, although it does seem to be too good to be true. That's why the gospel is the good news. If somebody tries to preach to you, it makes you feel really bad, and you get into a despair over it, you didn't hear the gospel. I want to tell you a little story. If you'll listen carefully, I believe it'll help you get a handle on your own fears and doubts and questions about changing from this way of living to an eternal way that Jesus has prepared for us. And it explores those same doubts and fears that you and I have from time to time about these things. Once upon a time, there were twin fetuses who were conceived in the same womb. Seconds and minutes and hours passed by as the two dormant lives developed. Two simple brains developed, and with the brains, feeling. And with feeling came perception. A perception of the surroundings of each other and of self. They perceived that they were there and that they had each other, and they were as happy as could be. They began to rejoice and say, we have a mother who gave us this life. How lucky we are to be here in this wonderful place together. They grew legs and arms and fingers and toes and began to move a little in the wonderful warm fluid that was there around them, and so they stretched their lungs in their newfound world. And they explored the new world that they had found. And in it, they found the life cord. And they loved their world, and they were so happy. And they said, how blessed we are to have this wonderful place to live in. We love it here. And as the weeks and months passed, they continued to change. And they looked at their changes, and they began to ask each other, what can this mean? This thing of us growing, what does it really mean? I think the time is coming near to our birth. We are drawing near to our birth. And then a chill crept over them, and they were both afraid, for they knew that their birth meant leaving all their secure world behind. One said, "If it were up to me, I'd stay here forever. I'd stay in this womb because I know it is safe here, and our mother won't let anything happen to us." And the other said, "But we must be born. It has happened to others who were here before us, and it will happen to us," because there was evidence the mother had borne children before. But one cried, "How can there be life after birth? How can we know there will be life after birth? Do we not shed our life cord and also the blood tissues? How can we live?" And have you ever talked to anyone who has been born? Has anyone ever re-entered the womb after birth to tell about it? No. Resigned to despair, he stabbed the darkness with his unseeing eyes and clutched his precious life cord to his chest and said, "If this is so, if I must be born, then life is absurd and there's no mother after all." "But there must be a mother," protested the other. "Who else gave us nourishment in our world?" he cried. "But maybe we made it up because we needed a mother. And she was never really that. Have you ever seen her? Did she ever talk to you?" So one raved while the other resigned himself to birth. Hours passed into days, days into weeks, and finally the time came for them to be born. And both knew that birth was at hand, and both feared what they did not know. Then one was born, followed by the other, and they cried as they were born out into the light, and they coughed up fluid, and they gasped the dry air. And when they were sure they had been born, they opened up their eyes and they found themselves cradled in the warm arms of the mother. They lay open-mouthed, awestruck by the beauty of the mother that they had never seen before. Life after death. Life for you and me. A little bit unknown and yet truer than the reality we sit in today. The resurrection of Jesus Christ means that everything he said, every promise he gave, every claim he made is good. Stamped with heaven's vindication, Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The resurrection means that he's here with us today. I mean right here. We serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. He's a living Savior. He said, "Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world." Not only did he overcome death, he overthrew all the power of Satan when he descended into hell. Before he rose again. You do know that you have said this for years. We believe in God, the Father Almighty, and in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was resurrected, who descended into hell. I said it every Sunday morning in the Methodist Church. But nobody told me what he did in hell. I had to find that out for myself. The Bible tells you very clearly that he was there overthrowing all the power of the devil. He didn't just go there for a visit. He came to take over. He says he has now the keys of death and hell. And you need never worry about it again if you have believed and trusted in him and surrendered your life to him. Before he rose again, from Friday afternoon until sometime Sunday morning, He was dealing with the powers of darkness and effectively spoiled them. Your Bible says in Colossians 2:15, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them, openly triumphing over them in it. And Judson Cornwall preached to us here that a triumph is a triumphal march. And that what Jesus actually did was he came out of that thing bringing the spoil with him, bringing in a triumphal parade the fact that I have won over every power of darkness, death, hell, and diseases. I join you in thinking this is absolutely incredible. Our carnal minds resist these wonderful things. But our hearts tell us that it's true. Jesus once said to his disciples, "O fools and slow of heart to believe." As you know, we've had a lot of bad news in our lifetimes. Many of us have. But now it's time to believe the good news. It's time to believe. It's called the gospel. Every message the disciples preached in the book of Acts was about the resurrection. And now the only thing left is for us to believe it. The Lord spoke to me yesterday after my message was finished and I had prayed over it. I was thinking on this wonderful scripture in Colossians 2:15 that Jesus encountered darkness and the time had come. Peter says he preached to the souls that were in prison, meaning that it was now for those that were held in another place, the Old Testament saints, to be released. And he took a train back to heaven with him. The wonderful, wonderful thing is that because all of those powers are defeated, you and I now are absolutely free. Not just to believe it as 88% of Americans responding to a survey, but to believe it with all our hearts and lives and live boldly and joyfully, trusting in surrendering our lives to the resurrected Christ. The only way that we can have the blessing of God in this life is through faith. And here's what the Lord spoke to me yesterday. Tell the people how to believe. There's some of you here today that don't believe. You accept the fact. You acknowledge. You've been told, and it's our culture here in America, Jesus rose from the dead. But you haven't believed it for yourself. Because he said the reason that I did that was to totally set you free. And I also did that so that I could be your Lord. You see, you're not really a believer until you follow him as a disciple. That means you give your life to him. You surrender. And whatever it is he doesn't want you to have now, you're willing to let that thing go. And what he's given to you, you come to embrace that. In other words, you change. There's a change. This changes everything. You see, the only way you can have the blessings of God in this life is through faith in this life. And it's the only way you can have eternal life. And so the fact of the matter is, if you don't believe, I'm talking about if you don't believe for you, then I'm here to tell you today, you've got to believe. If you expect to ever have these things, you've got to start by believing. Well, hold on, you said you're going to tell us how to believe. I am. Choose every day to dedicate yourself to the walk of faith. Tell God, "I believe, help my unbelief." There were others who were not ashamed to do that. God knows where you are. He knows what's holding you in unbelief. He knows about your fears. He knows about the disappointments. But I'm going to tell you, today is a day like no other. Because the day is the day that the Holy Spirit is going to minister the truth to you, and you're going to hear it in a way different from what you've heard it before. Choose every day. This is how to believe. Choose every day to dedicate yourself to the walk of faith. Surrender is the root of faith. Bill Johnson said, if you want to have faith, surrender. For this is what faith really is. I yield up who I am and what I can do, and I believe God. Come on, church. It's not that hard to surrender. You just yield. But it is a choice. And when you make that choice, the Holy Spirit starts doing a work. Now the scripture says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How many of you listened today? A few hands went up, but I'm going to tell you what, you were all listening because I saw you. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Then does this say to you, I better be hearing the word of God? Because you're never going to get to heaven and have deliverance in this life without faith. You've got to have faith. And by the way, it's not something you do. Faith cometh. Let faith come. Let yourself come to faith. Start saying, this day I believe God. I have been another way, but this day I choose to be this way. If there are this many other people here that really do believe God and know Jesus, then I can be one of those people too. Listen to all the word of God you can, and read it for yourself, and practice it to the best of your understanding and ability. I'm afraid I might get legalistic. It'd be better than being dead. It'd be better than never having Jesus. Yeah, we pass through times where we might be legalistic and all kinds of weirds. But the thing is to keep going on till you believe and you come to the place of release and confidence, where nobody has to tell you to do anything. The Holy Spirit is living such a life in you that He's showing you every day how to live this life. Now, I'm not talking about anything legalistic. I'm talking about doing your best to walk in the Word of God as you read it. Practice it and you'll find that you'll grow in faith and you'll really know Jesus Christ. I think it was John Wesley who said, preach faith until you have faith. He told his pastors, preach faith until you have faith, and then it'll be yours. Listen to the word until you've embraced it as yours, and then it'll be yours. Choose every day to dedicate yourself to being a Christian, to living a Christian life. Don't see yourself as someone hanging around the edges, still folding up in some warm womb somewhere, afraid to come out. Be willing to be birthed into a whole new world. Let go the life cord of whatever other thing you're holding on to. And say, Jesus, I trade that in for your hand. I'm going to take hold of your hand. I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to let you speak to me. I want to say this to you today. This thing of knowing Jesus, being a Christian, a real follower of Jesus Christ, it's in the supernatural realm. It's not in the intellectual realm. If you were listening to an intellectual preacher today, you'd be bored. That's how you know the difference. It's the anointing that causes you to be interested enough to listen to hear the Word of God. And then when the Holy Spirit comes in on that Word and begins to breathe on it, it becomes very exciting. And you find, even I, you say to yourself, even I who was afraid to be birthed into this reality, I want to say today, I'm just going to believe what the Word of God says. I'm going to believe what it says. All excuses aside, on this resurrection day, let yourself be resurrected into a new commitment, a fresh desire for the things of God. Because if you do, it'll be the first day of the rest of your life. And if you don't, you'll just have that same misery until the day comes that you finally do. I recommend today as the best day of all days for you to do this. It only makes sense. Is this right? I thank God that He's a great God, The most important thing to know about Jesus is death couldn't hold him. The grave couldn't hold him. There was no way that the enemy could keep Jesus from overcoming all those forces and getting the keys to death and hell and preparing for us eternal life and a home in heaven. And it's all ours today. I wonder if you'd stand in his wonderful presence with us this morning. We're going to let the Holy Spirit speak to us here for just a moment. Everyone, please, being reverent in the presence of the Lord today, will you just allow, come on, this is one of the reasons that we haven't come to faith or we haven't believed. We haven't just stood still a minute. Let the Holy Spirit speak to us. Will you do that this morning? I'm asking now if you, everyone, bow your heads and close your eyes. I want you to have an appointment with the Holy Spirit right now. Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to move on hearts today. I'm asking you, Lord, that you will reveal Jesus. I'm praying that you will release a faith in this house. And that everyone hearing my voice today can be completely released from every fear and doubt and dread and every failure of the past, every kind of discouragement. And I declare today over this congregation a breakthrough in minds and hearts to say, just say yes to Jesus Christ. I yield to him. I surrender to him. I say yes. As Jesus was raised from the dead, I want that resurrection power in my life. And while your hearts are still bowed in his presence, is there anyone here today that you have not given your heart to Jesus Christ? You want to lift your hand and say, I'm going to begin that walk today. I'm going to surrender. You preached that I could, and I'm just going to believe that because, you know, believing the other way I've been believing has not gotten me anywhere. And I want to take a fresh step today. I want to have a new start. If you've never given your heart to Jesus, or if you have and you've been away from him and you're backslidden, today is your day, resurrection day, to be raised up out of that. The Holy Spirit will lift you up today and reveal Jesus. And if that is your case, would you just lift your hand and say, Pastor, nobody's looking. This is between you and God. Pastor, will you pray for me this morning? I want to say yes to Jesus. And I want you to just lift your hand. You're coming back to him. You've been away from him. I mean, I'm just simply saying, I see your hand. All right? Others, come on, raise your hand. Just, you're free here in this place to put your hand up. That's what church is for, is to come and I see your hand over on my left. Come on, let the Holy Spirit speak to you. This is the day that you're going to say, I'm just going to take that step today. I don't have anything to lose. I haven't gotten anywhere the way I'm going. And I've heard the word of God today, and I want to respond, or I want to come back to him. Let's say you've just been out of church a while, and you just feel kind of molded over. Why don't you put your hand up and say, I want to make that rededicate. I see your hand. Or you say, I want to make that dedication. I want to be a spiritual Christian. I don't want to have that kind of life where I just come and go and ho-hum. I want to dive in and know what this thing of reality, of resurrection power is all alike. Others, come on, others, lift your hand. Come on, don't let the enemy hold you back. There's real power. I see your hand in the center section. Thank you. Okay, others want to say, oh, what an Easter this is going to be. Different from all the others that I've ever had. Because today, yes, I see your hand on my right-hand side. It said, today I'm going to make that choice. The devil can't keep me from choosing Jesus today. And I want to walk with him the way I've heard preached today. I say I've heard the word of God. And I'm going to keep on hearing it, that I can be established in these truths. Lord, I want to thank you. Holy Spirit, I want to thank you today for setting people free to respond. I give you all the glory. I thank you today, Lord, that you cause us to desire this wonderful thing that you have done for us. And we've come this morning. Now let me pray for you, those of you that raise your hands. If any others want to, before I pray, please feel free. You can do that as well. This is the day. All right, thank you. I see your hand on my left-hand side. Any others? Because I want you to know you're being specifically prayed for today. You're being, anyone else, just getting ready to pray. Oh, I'm so glad that we can pray and that God hears our prayers today. Lord, I thank you today for every hand that was lifted up today. Because we know that there's real value in just taking some kind of step, making some kind of motion. And I declare that the hosts of darkness and the hosts of heaven both have seen these hands today. And this is the day that the Holy Spirit begins to bring fresh revelation. Revelation by the Spirit of God. We know it's a supernatural thing. Holy Spirit, you will reveal Jesus in these hearts and lives. You will strengthen them. You will cause them to be able to take these steps. And Lord, I ask you for any of these hands that were never really born again, never really saved, then we pray this prayer together. As a church, we agree together for the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit. For no man can come to Jesus except the Father draw him, and except the work of the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit goes on. Thank you, Lord, for the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit that works in this place today, that warms hearts and that quickens minds and spirits and causes life to come. Thank you for life in this place. Thank you for the born again experience. And if you haven't ever given your heart to Jesus, if you hadn't given your heart to him before, you need to know this, that you need to say to him, I want to repent of my sins. I want to ask you to cleanse me of my sins. I'm sorry for the way I've lived, but today I say I want to make that turn, Jesus. And with the great help of your wonderful Holy Spirit, I believe I'm going to walk a different kind of life today. It's so wonderful that we can do this, church. It's so wonderful that we can make this transaction. We can make this transaction with heaven today. Oh, let's just believe God. Lord, I just believe you for everyone that raised their hands today. You did something by your Spirit to cause their hearts and minds to be moved upon. And we declare today a work of the Holy Ghost in each of their hearts and lives, that your word now becomes real to them and that they develop a real personal relationship with you. Draw them to yourself today, Lord. We thank you and praise you, and we give you all the glory, Jesus.